Welcome, sports fans, to the hottest sports podcast in the game, JT and the Don, with your hosts, Jimmy Thompson and Donato Bucci. They're covering the most current issues in sports from the 305 to the 412 and all the way to the West Coast. You can follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at JT and the Don, or email them at jtandthedon@gmail.com. Now take it away, guys.
This is JT and the Don. This is your co-host, Donato Bucci, the Don. Let me introduce JT, Jimmy Thompson. How you feeling today?
What's going on, man?
Nothing much. Just can't wait to talk about.
You sound really tired. You sound like you're not ready to go, man.
I'm ready.
What's wrong?
To go.
You're not eating enough?
I am not. I'm on this Whole 30 diet. I'm eating enough, but man, no sugars, no carbs. No pop, other parts of the country.
I know you soda. I know you struggling big time. When's the last time you had dessert?
24 days ago.
Damn, you sound like you had an AA meeting.
Yeah. Listen. It'll be worth it in the end. But I'm excited about this episode because it's an all-NBA episode, JT. Starting off.
So as long as we don't have to talk about the Steelers, I'm all good. But yeah, you're right, man. We're going to talk all about the NBA, and we're going to kick it off with the NBA draft. Probably one of the biggest drafts in recent memory, just because of who was taken at the top. But I just want your overall reaction to a couple things in the NBA draft. So just right off the bat, because I know last year we talked about this. I'll be really interested to see what you pick this year. So in the NBA draft, of course, Zion went number one, as everybody expected. But who do you think was the best pick overall?
The best pick, I thought, and I think I did a little bit different than you. I kind of looked at more of the value part. And I actually pulled a JT here. I went with multiple best picks because that's what you love to always hedge your bet.
Wow. Out of all the players that were drafted, I might choose two at the most. Come on, man.
So I've got three. Nassir Little, he fell to the Portland Trailblazers all the way to number 25. This guy 2 years ago was like one of the most highly touted recruits in that class.
Yeah, he was. I was shocked he fell that far, to be honest with you.
I was hoping he was coming to the U to play, but of course he picked UNC over us. But the other
shocker.
I thought the Warriors had a great pick with Eric Pascal. I think he is the next Draymond Green. And so if they let Draymond walk after next season and they don't want to pay him the max, I think they have a younger version of Draymond Green and someone who is going to get less technicals, and he's a champ in college. And then the other one, second-round pick, the Celtics taking Tremont Waters, the point guard from LSU. I really like what he can do. And in the second round, in case they let Scary Terry go, I think he'd be good.
Nah, Scary Terry's just leaving. No, but I'm kind of going a different direction. My two best picks were Coby White from UNC by the Bulls. I think that was a perfect pick for them just because they need a point guard so bad. Your boy Chris Dunn, who I feel like you've been on that. you love Chris Dunn's been your favorite player for like the past like 2 years.
And they've
been
trying to find Westbrook, yeah.
Yeah, they've been trying to find so many ways to get rid of him. They've given him all the opportunities to, you know, be the guy in that system, and it just hasn't worked out. So Kobe at least looks like a shot in the arm. The reason I picked him as the best pick is because they were saying that Roy Williams said he was the fastest point guard he had seen or coached since Ty Lawson, I believe. So that, and I feel like he can score, get to the rack. He's just going to bring a different energy to that young Bulls team that's actually more talented than people think. And then my other best pick was, I'm pretty sure I'm going to butcher this dude's name, and I don't care because he went to FSU, Mafondo Cabagelli. My cousin Mike can correct me later once he listens. Wait.
He sounds Italian, though. You made him Italian right there.
I don't know. Yeah, whatever. I'm pretty sure he's not Italian. But no, the center from Florida State, I was actually shocked that he fell as far to the Clippers because I heard before they were saying like he could be a lottery pick. But, I mean, just based on what I saw, he seems like a real talented guy. And I think the situation he went to with the Clippers, they're already a deep team, and he's got lottery-type talent, and he's got high energy. So just the fact that you add them to that roster, I think it's a great pick by them. So let's go ahead and flip it around, Donato. Who's the worst pick?
By the way, I knew you would have multiple best picks. I just knew you couldn't pass that up.
I only had one until I figured you would try to do something slick. So whatever.
Listen, you know my worst pick. I ranted and raved to you about how bad of a pick this was. My Orlando Magic taking Chuma Okeke of Auburn. This guy, do I even need to explain why? I guess I will for the listeners. But the dude tore his ACL in the NCAA tournament, late in the NCAA tournament. This guy's not going to be ready for any of the camps or the beginning of the season. Who knows if he'll play this year. And Orlando can't afford to have a rookie sit. They needed help, especially at the wings, at the guard positions. And what can I say? They messed up again.
Well, I mean, how much of that is the fact that he got chosen or the fact that the worst pick is just the Orlando Magic? So whoever they pick is going to be the worst pick because of who the organization is.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying he's the worst player.
How do you say his name again?
Chuma Okeke.
Can we just call him Okeke? I feel like you're being you know, unfair to Okeke there. He can't help that the Magic drafted him.
It's not his fault. It really isn't his fault, but it's still the worst pick, and that's because of the Magic.
No, I agree. But my worst pick was actually by another team who I'm not surprised made a bad pick because they're a terrible team. It was Cam Johnson from UNC to the Suns. And it's weird because it's not that he can't play. Obviously, I feel he got taken at, 11? That's really high for a player to go. That's lottery. But first of all, they traded out of the number six pick. So they traded back to this spot. And I feel like they should have taken Kobe White at number six. They could have used a true point guard on that team to team with Devin Booker and some of those other younger players that they have on that roster. And then also they could have picked Little, your boy, who you like, Nasir Little. They could have picked him too, super talented guy. But I just really look at Cam Johnson and I see a role player or a specialist type guy, and I feel like you just don't take that kid at number 11. Especially when you had a chance to pick somebody more talented at number six.
I like Cam just because he was a former Pitt guy, but that's, you know.
Yeah, so you know his skill set's limited. Oh, anyway.
Come on, man. That's messed up. No way.
Best player.
Listen, I'm doubling down on this guy. I told the listeners out there back during our one of our March Madness episodes that Jarrett Culver is the best player in this draft.
You just like him because he goes to church every Sunday, don't you? Once you saw his dad was a preacher, you're like, all right, that's my favorite player.
Doesn't hurt, bro. Doesn't hurt.
No, I mean, I actually don't think he will be that good, but I mean, you never know. He has the skill set. Mine is easy. It's Zion, and it's because he is probably the best player to enter the draft since LeBron as far as talent-wise. Obviously, he comes with risks. I mean, he could go to New Orleans and eat himself out of the NBA.
Is not me. I would eat myself out of the NBA, not Zion.
I'm pretty sure Zion eats more than you. But, I mean, there's obvious things that he needs to work on. He needs to be a better shooter. He needs to learn how to handle the ball better at the NBA level. He's got to learn how to play the game beyond his physical gifts. But, I mean, the physical gifts alone are ridiculous. I just think he's going to be so good for the NBA, the next best thing. He's just – the combination of things around him is very much like how people hyped up LeBron and everything that was put around him in place when he came into the NBA. So I think Zion is going to be the best player in this draft. Flip that. I'm really interested to see who you're going to pick because you already picked the Magic, so you can't pick them twice. Do you think is going to be the bust of this draft?
Well, I pulled the old JT move again, and I got two guys on this list. I got Cam Reddish. I don't even know if he was the third best player on that Duke team. I don't know if that equates. Especially, he should have went back to Duke. He's one of those guys. I love when guys do go early when they're ready, but when they're not, man, it's sad to see because their careers could have been so different. I think he's going to be one of those guys. And then believe it or not, we definitely disagree here. I think Kobe White, I think they're expecting great things out of him. I know he's super fast, but he disappointed me a little bit at the end of the season for UNC. His decision-making was questionable. And so I'm going to say he is as well a bust.
Okay. I mean, I can see where you're coming from. I actually think that Cam Reddish struggled just because I don't think he fit the Duke system. And I think the other reason he struggled was because of my player who I picked as the bust, which is RJ Barrett to the Knicks. And don't get me wrong, this is not me saying that RJ Barrett is not talented. I think he's got talent, but he's got all the characteristics of a guy who 3 or 4 years from now is not going to get any better. And it's so funny that he went to the Knicks because he kind of reminds me of a Carmelo Anthony type of guy. He's going to jack up shots. He's a volume shooter. You see how long those guys really last in the league. And especially in today's NBA, volume shooters don't – you can't win with them, and teams are kind of going away from them more and more and more. And I felt as if he's – like the Knicks, for what they expect him to do, he's essentially going to be a consolation prize for not getting Zion, and then a consolation prize for the whole KD thing if he doesn't – if he ends up not going to New York. If you're thinking RJ Barrett is going to replace the impact that KD or bringing Zion to your franchise, it's going to replace that, then yeah, the guy's set up to be a bust. He's not going to be anywhere near what those guys are. His talent level isn't that high. And yeah, he'll be on a bad team where he can take a bunch of bad shots, but I just don't think that he's going to be the savior that the Knicks think that they got at number three. And I just don't think his game is that transcendent. So I think he's going to be the bust of this draft just simply because of where he went and how high he was drafted.
I think it's funny that when the Knicks boo Porzingis, he turns out to be really good, and they love this RJ Barrett pick. And you might be right; it might turn out bad for them because what do Knicks fans you see know what I'm as saying, well? Though? What's that?
I feel like they're gonna miss Porzingis so much because he was so talented. Yeah, he couldn't stay healthy all the time, but when he was on the court, it was clear he was different. But I mean, they might as well just sign Carmelo Anthony back if they're gonna think RJ Barrett's gonna be the savior.
Right, I mean,
this has got a bad choice written all over it.
What do New York Knicks fans really know anyway? So, I mean, they booed Porzingis. They were crying when they picked Porzingis. So, I think you're right. I think they are going to miss Porzingis.
No. All right, so sticking with the NBA draft, there's a story going around that the NBA is possibly considering some changes to the draft format in the future. And one of the things that they were discussing was, should rookies coming into the league be able to choose where they want to play instead of having to go through not only the lottery but the actual draft? So my question to you is, should this be something that the NBA considers, letting the players choose where they want to go rather than being drafted by the team?
No, absolutely not. I got three quick reasons. First, let's face it. Sports are different than the rest of the working place of the working world. Especially when it comes to choosing where you play. Yes, at 18, if you wanted to go work somewhere, you pick. But sports are different, let's face it. And two, it would be such a competitive imbalance. I mean, can you imagine that the Magic would have never have gotten Shaq or Penny, and they would have never had Dwight Howard? And what happens when they've had the number one pick? They've gone to the finals with those guys. Think about the Pelicans. The Pelicans would be leaving New Orleans right now because not only would they have lost AD, they probably never had him to begin with, and they wouldn't be getting Zion. And if you want to compete with the NFL, you got to have parity. And I don't mind the super teams, but it can't be through the rookies going to wherever they want. And someone mentioned in the article that I read about this, and there's arguments of why they should get the pick that, oh, because of cap space, the Lakers, you know, still wouldn't be able to sign this guy or the Knicks, that guy. Like, no, that's baloney, because what would happen is if they know Zion's coming out this year, last summer, they would have planned for it. So they're going to make the room to sign the big guys, the Kobe Bryants, the Shaqs, the LeBron James. If LeBron was not from Akron, he would have never went to the Cavs then, because there's no way he's picking the Cavs. So that's baloney too. Teams would work around that and figure out a way to get cap space to sign the really big guys. So I would stop watching, because the Magic would never have a chance to ever win again. I would stop watching the NBA.
I actually disagree with you. So I think initially what will happen is it will appear that way, that the best teams or the big market franchise teams will be getting all the talent. And I think that's what the NBA worries about.
It's not about all the talent. It's the top guys. Because in the NBA, one guy changes everything. The small teams would never – Carl Anthony Towns would never be in Minnesota. That's my point. The top five guys would never go to the small teams. And that's how you make a championship team.
Well, here's where I disagree with you. Initially, I think that's what will happen. But here's what's going to happen. So – let's say for the next four drafts, the top two players are really, really good. I'm pretty sure those top two players for the next four drafts, what's going to happen? They can't all go to the same three teams, because there's going to be a logjam of talent to where they're not going to be able to get on the court. So guess what? Those guys are going to want to go where they can play. And that, I think that's a good thing. And also, too, you're assuming that all top talented NBA players, potential NBA players, want the same thing. You're saying, oh, because LeBron is from Akron, he wouldn't want to play in Cleveland. Yeah, but guess, yeah, LeBron's Hollywood. He's different. But guess what? For every LeBron, there's a Giannis who's talented, who just wants to go to wherever he can get on the court.
Hold on, JT, name me a big-time superstar free agent that went to the Cavs on their own when LeBron has not been there the past 4 years. Name me one. In the history of the Cleveland Cavaliers, name me one.
Well, here's the thing. Come on.
Yeah, you can't. No, I'm saying
that's really unfair because LeBron was only gone for four seasons. He was only gone for four seasons.
I'm not saying, I'm not saying just LeBron's era. Go back to the 80s, the 90s with Mark Price. Who? The only guy I can think of is Gerald Wilkins. And guess what? Young kids nowadays don't know who he is because he was not a superstar.
I think it would be different nowadays. I just think kids are different. You see kids doing stuff outside of the norm, foregoing playing in college, going overseas. I just think that it'd be very interesting to see if players could choose where they want to play. Because you just never know what's in those kids' minds, hearts, where they want to play. You know, what's the most important to them? What's most important to their camp and the people helping them make those decisions? I think initially, like you said, yes, the players will want to pick to go to those big market, more glamorous markets. But some people just don't want to do that. Like a Kawhi Leonard probably wouldn't want to go to L.A. He just doesn't seem like a spotlight type of guy, especially coming into the NBA. And they're already saying Toronto's the favorite to keep him. And I think there's a reason he's been saying, I don't want to go play with LeBron. Or Paul George didn't go to L.A. He chose to stay in OKC after playing in Indiana. I just think you're overestimating that all great players want to play in the spotlight and want to be on the best team. Sometimes cats want to make their own way. So it'd be really interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely disagree because I think the top talent we know you've got
about. Let me ask you a question. So if you were the number one pick in next year's draft,
look at Dwight Howard, Kobe, if you were the number one pick
next year. And Pittsburgh had a basketball team. You had a chance between going to Pittsburgh, Orlando Magic, or playing it with the LA Lakers. Which one are you going to choose? Honestly.
Well, I would pick Pittsburgh, but that's my whole point. I'm from there. That's not going to happen every year.
You just never know what guys are going to pick.
What I'm saying is it's very rare that would happen. And that's what would kill the teams like Orlando and Minnesota. So
I would pick Orlando.
Let's keep with this trend of the Lakers and LeBron. The Anthony Davis trade. It finally went down. Anthony Davis to the Lakers for the number four overall pick. Well, I'll get to the draft picks. The players they got in return, meaning the Pelicans, Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Hart, and the draft picks now. Number four overall, which then the Pelicans flipped the number 8 and 17 from the Hawks. The number 35 pick in this past draft. Then the Lakers' first-round pick in 2021, if it's a top-8 pick. If not, it becomes a first-round pick in 2022. So right there, they got two first-round picks. A swap in 2023, if they want. And then the first round in either 24 or 25. That's Pelicans' choice. So basically four first-round picks in those players I named. JT, who won this deal? That's the first question. I got a follow-up for you.
I think this is pretty easy, especially since I feel like the Pelicans robbed the Lakers of this deal. So you got those players, all of those picks, and you still got Zion. I mean, that's a no-brainer. To give up a guy in Anthony Davis, who, don't get me wrong, when he's healthy, he's a top-five talent, but he doesn't want to be in New Orleans anymore. So you got rid of a guy who, at one point, everybody thought you had no value. But I think the reason the Pelicans are the biggest winner in this whole deal is because they just continue to shine a light on how incompetent and how poorly run the Lakers organization is. Because the Lakers made this deal without even thinking about the possibility of, if we sign Anthony Davis and trade for him, we're not going to have any cap space to get this third max player who's going to help us come in and dethrone the Warriors. So now Pelinka is like scrambling to make all these deals because he forgot he wasn't going to have any money to sign a Kemba Walker or somebody like that. So I feel like the Pelicans put a clown suit on the Lakers organization, essentially like they've been doing all NBA season, and it's continued into the offseason. So it's a no-brainer the Pelicans won this deal. And do the Lakers win a title? I'll tell you what.
Don't jump it. I didn't ask you that. I said I got a follow-up question. I didn't ask you that. Let me go first.
Oh, my bad. I thought you asked me.
No. I said I got a follow-up for you. I'm going to say that I disagree with you. I think the Lakers won the deal first, and we've seen it throughout history. You can never get enough in return when you're trading a superstar of a talent like Anthony Davis. We've talked about that before. You never get enough in return no matter how much you think you got.
I agree. I agree with you, but in this case, I disagree. I think this is probably the closest that you'll ever get to saying, if I'm trading a superstar of that caliber, what I got in return feels like a fair deal. And I think if these players that they got from the Lakers actually develop and be the players that people think they were supposed to be, and they get some really good guys with these picks, absolutely this is going to be seen as, okay, they got fair value for Anthony Davis.
Well, let me tell you why I think the Lakers won. Like I said, I don't think the Pelicans could ever have gotten enough, especially when there's no superstar coming in return. Anthony Davis is in his prime. People are saying, well, if they don't win the next 2 years, LeBron's going to be old, can't do this, can't do that. Okay, that's fine. The Lakers have always been built around great centers. George Mikan, Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal. I mean, that is how...
Different league.
I understand, but hold on.
The league is built around the little light-skinned dude who can jack up 33s a game. It's different.
And did they win the title?
Well, damn, how many players have to get hurt? they were on the way to going to Game 7 until Klay Thompson tore his ACL.
Anthony Davis is different than some of those centers. I'm not saying he's better than Shaq. I'm not saying he's probably last.
Oh, he's a top five player, no doubt about it.
But of all the centers I just named in Lakers history, he's at the bottom right now. But he's different because he can play this type of game now. He can shoot the three. He's athletic. So they can work around. Even when LeBron retires, they have the centerpiece. They can get guys to come play for them. And I don't think all those guys they got, they're good players, but not great. And then draft picks, that's such a toss-up. We're talking about 2024, 2025. David Griffin might not even be the GM at that point. So they lost in the deal. Follow-up question. Now we'll get to it. Do the Lakers win a title this year coming up?
If they don't get a third player, no.
I totally agree. They don't have enough cap space because AD doesn't look like he's going to trade. He's going to waive that $4 million bonus he has coming. And there is no way I think they win this year, even though Vegas odds are saying they do. I just don't see it. You're right. They don't have enough cap space. They don't have enough on the roster right now. They got six guys on the roster.
Rob Pelinka's running the franchise, enough said.
you love this. You love this. Pelinka and the Rambuses.
I actually hate it because I like the Lakers as an organization, but damn, this is a perfect example of why you shouldn't leave your business to your children.
Why you shouldn't?
Should not. Especially if they don't know what the hell they're doing.
Let's go to the East Coast basketball, all right, on our side of the country here. The Boston Celtics and Danny Ainge. What is Danny Ainge doing, JT?
I don't know what the hell happened to the Celtics, but damn.
I know, man. It's like they had everything in front of them, and now what? Did the Celtics jeopardize their future by not going after Kawhi or AD when they had the chance instead of, you know, really holding on to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in some of those trade talks?
Well, that's a year ago that would have been a ridiculous question to ask just because they were just known league-wide as we're not giving up Jaylen Brown, we're not giving up Jason Tatum. Now you couldn't even get, you know, a two-piece combo for those guys. Like, it's night and day for how people perceive them around the league. But I will say this, Danny Ainge definitely did jeopardize the Celtics' future because he did something really weird that most NBA franchises don't do. So you're either planning for the future, which means, you know, we're trying to acquire all this draft capital, trying to get bad contracts off the books, blah, blah, blah. Or you're in win-now mode where we're like, hey, we're trying to get the best free agents on the market. We're gonna stack up as many good guys as we can, and then we'll get those mid-level players that can play a role. They kind of did a little bit of both, and I feel as if the players that they invested in, it kind of came back to bite them in the backside. So, first of all, mortgaging your future on Kyrie Irving when he's already on the downside physically and then he is not getting along with teammates was a bad move. And then I don't understand why they tried so hard to integrate Gordon Hayward back into the offense this year when obviously he's coming off a really, really, really bad injury the season before. So, and that team had already shown that they can win without him. So you're already throwing off this amazing chemistry and amazing run that you guys had last year by trying to bring in this the top free agent from the last season when he's clearly not ready to go and he's clearly not back to being the same player. So there's a lot of bad decisions that I'm not even so sure that Brad Stevens isn't responsible for, but I guess Danny Ainge is the guy who's in charge of all this, so he's got to take the fall. But in retrospect, how stupid do you look? And this is almost a fireable offense. You're not going to trade Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum for AD? Like, that just sounds ridiculous. You're not going to trade those guys to try to get a Kawhi Leonard? Like, I feel as if that were any other situation other than Boston and Danny Ainge. Like, if that were you making the decision for the Orlando Magic, you'd be fired tomorrow. So, absolutely, well, he jeopardized their future by trying to play both sides from the middle.
Well, maybe not, because Orlando's had some of the same incompetent guys making decisions in Orlando for 10 years now. So,
but they never had a roster this stacked, though,
that's
like
true.
This.
That is true. I agree with you. Yeah, they're definitely jeopardizing their great future because – Kawhi won in Toronto. It showed. If he goes to the Celtics, they're coming out of the East, right? The Raptors are not even on the map. Like, the Celtics are breezing through the East. So I don't know what Ainge is doing. Jaylen took a step back. You know, they're renouncing the rights to, we already talked about some of it, Scary Terry and Morris. So, yeah, that opens up cap space. But who wants to go there at this point? They don't seem to be the hotbed. KD doesn't seem to be going there. Kyrie's not going back. We know Kawhi's not going there. So, like, they have a bunch of young guys and $31 million in cap space. But what talent do they have there now to compete with some of these teams? So, I don't know what he's doing. I think they had a decent draft, but not a great draft. I talked about Tremont Waters already, but I don't know what he's doing here. Like,
they got the kid from Indiana, right?
Yes, they got Romeo.
I like him. I think he fits in line with what they can do, what they've been doing recently. I like him.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, it's not bad, but
he's not super talented, though.
Correct. And he keeps – and what I mean by he, Danny Ainge, keeps kicking the can down the road, freeing up cap space. Oh, we're trying to attain all these draft picks. But it's like, what assets do you have anymore? Those Nets picks, they're gone from the Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce trade. They're done. You picked them. And – this cap space, great. You're not signing KD. You're not bringing back Irving. You're probably not going after D'Angelo Russell. What are you going to do with $31 million extra room? So I think he messed up. I agree with you.
Final note, this is what you get for holding on to draft picks like they're Beanie Babies. They turn out to be not to be that valuable. But side question, how much of this is – because I've heard this from a couple people just listening to sports shows – how much of this is guys just not wanting to play in Boston because of the city? Because I hear a lot of players that play in Boston, they don't like it there, and it's actually a deterrent for other guys to come there. So that's what Kyrie said. That's what Kyrie said. He said he just didn't like playing in the city, and I've heard that for Red Sox players as well.
Well, maybe it's different for the Celtics or something, but I don't see anyone hesitating going to the Patriots and the Red Sox, regardless of what Red Sox players are saying, bro. They love
totally
David.
Different. Totally Listen, different. Tom after, Brady's there and they're winning
everything,
rings.
After everything David Ortiz is going through, I mean, they've been super supportive of, you know, trying to support David Ortiz in this tough time.
You know what I'm talking about. It's always rumors come out of Boston about the fan and athlete interaction. So I'm not saying that's a big reason. I say it's a very small percentage of the reason, but I'll be interested to see how much of that has to do with anything.
I don't know. I think it's a very small percentage because if they're maxing out guys, then I think guys would stay.
Speaking of throwing away futures, let's stick with that whole premise. Let's go to somebody. Let's go to a team that almost looked like they were on the verge of taking over the NBA, but they just plummeted. The Houston Rockets. So, of course, they wet the bed this season in the playoffs. Everybody thought they were going to take that next step and beat the Warriors since they were so close the previous season, taking them to a Game 7 in the series in the playoffs. But reports have come out that there's a rift between James Harden and CP3, and that CP3 has demanded a trade, and Harden and CP3 are no longer speaking. In fact, they haven't spoken for months, according to reports. So my question to you is, should they blow this team up and should they make everyone available for a trade?
By the way, I do believe that rift, because I don't know if you remember the press conference during the playoffs this year. It was like midway through, I think, the playoffs. Chris Paul literally got up in the middle of the press conference, him and James Harden, and Chris Paul just got up and left. Everyone was asking James Harden the questions, and Harden was not amused when Chris Paul just walked out. What I think they should do is, no, they should not blow it up. They were one game away from beating Golden State last playoffs in 2018. So they're close. I think what hurt them was Trevor Ariza, so they got to find someone that plays the way he does to replace him. Capella, you got. Tucker, Gordon are still good enough. And Harden and Paul, hey, you signed them. You made your bed. You got to sleep in it now. And I still think they can do it. I don't think they need to blow it up. Don't overreact. Daryl Morey has stuck to his guns, and I think he should continue with that. And I don't know if they get it done, but if you blow it up, you've got no shot.
It's funny to answer that question, because should they blow it up? Absolutely. Just from the standpoint that CP3 is overpaid. Nobody in the NBA is going to take that ridiculous contract, especially
exactly.
In,
who's who's going to take him? Who's
at the physical condition he's in now? I mean, he's clearly broken down. But the reason I feel they should blow it up, but they can't blow it up, is because if you blow this whole thing up, part of the issue is not just this rift between Chris Paul and James Harden, because there was even a report that they hadn't spoken in a couple months, and that CP3's biggest issue was he didn't want to be in the lineup the same time as James Harden, because obviously he's so ball dominant. Just let me come off the bench and run the second unit and we can alternate that way. And of course D'Antoni didn't do that. I just think that Mike D'Antoni, who has a reputation for being so non-confrontational and being a player's coach, doesn't know how to check somebody like James Harden. But on the flip side, his whole system and the success that they've had is built around James Harden being this ball dominant person that doesn't share with anybody else. So you blow it up and you get rid of D'Antoni and Paul. Is James Harden the same player? This NBA perennial MVP type player who everybody is about to put on the Mount Rushmore of this era? I don't think James Harden is the same player without D'Antoni. So it's a weird mix. I think it goes back to what you said. If they're going to blow it up, they have to go get guys that fit around Harden. And I just don't think Chris Paul was a good fit, especially as he continues to break down. They need to go get a Trevor Ariza or a Buamonte, somebody, role players that know that James Harden is going to shoot his 30 shots a night and just be ready when he gives it to you to do something with it. But I think if it's between these two, it's done. It's over.
I'm not putting James Harden on Mount Rushmore, just so you know.
On the way, though. He's on the way.
Get out of here. No way.
You telling me if Harden plays at this, like, forget the playoffs, if he plays at this level in the regular season for the next 5 years straight, he's not considered top three of this generation? There's no way you can't have that conversation.
Well, okay.
No way.
That's different than Mount Rushmore, bro.
I said Mount Rushmore of this era.
Oh, okay. Maybe I misunderstood you.
Thought you were an attorney. I would be in jail already.
I don't know. I still got KD and LeBron above him from this generation. So,
but I'm not saying those guys aren't better. I just said if he keeps performing at this pace the next 5 years in a row, there's no way you can't have that debate.
It could be debatable. I'm still not putting him up there. Let's talk about guys that are actually on the Mount Rushmore, at least in this generation. All right, the Golden State Warriors and their salary cap issue. Okay. Steph, who's already on a max, KD can get the super max, which is 5 years, $221 million from the Warriors. Klay can get the max, which is 5 years, I believe, $181 million. And Draymond is up after this upcoming season. So, JT, if the Warriors have all four guys under the max contract, re-sign Kevin Looney at roughly $15 million over 3 years, and fill out the roster with minimum salaries, draft picks in the mid-level exception, their total bill in salary and taxes over the next 4 years will be $1.6 billion.
How much?
$1.6 billion with a B.
Oh, that's nothing. The Warriors, they got that money. Shoot, the guy that shoved Kyle Lowry courtside is worth $2 billion alone.
Here we go. You got to bring that up again. So should they sign all four guys and just eat that bill?
Here's the thing. if anybody could afford to go this much in debt over keeping a dynasty together, it's the Warriors. Obviously, they're out in Silicon Valley. They got all this tech money back in their franchise. They can afford to do it. The real dilemma they'll have is, one, you're assuming that KD wants to re-sign with them despite everything that's gone down with him getting his Achilles blown out and all that stuff.
Well, let me stop you there. I'm just saying that theoretically, if he wants to come back, do you
sign all four?
Yeah. Do you sign all
and
four?
Assuming they're all returning to form, because we don't know how KD's going to be. Klay's coming off of ACL. He's probably not even going to play next year.
Yeah, there's no guarantee there. It's a crapshoot. That's not the hypothetical here. That he comes back 100%. You're rolling.
Feel that there's you can't give max deals to all these guys because you don't know how they're gonna come back, especially KD. So would I go into paying all those people? First of all, I'm not paying Draymond a max contract at all. He already showed me that if any of these three guys go down, meaning Curry, Durant, or Klay Thompson, and Draymond's carrying my team, I'm screwed. Like, he's going to average 10 turnovers a game, and we're going to be a shitty team. So, no, he has to go. Looney, you can replace. You can build somebody up. I think the Warriors do a great job of drafting guys with Looney's skill set and developing them, and they turn out to be great. And you can find veterans that can replace him in his production and what he does. But, I mean, it's weird because they probably can afford this. $1.6 billion over the next 4 years is not anything to them. But if you have an opportunity to keep those three guys together, you got to take that risk, in my opinion, and see if we can continue this dynasty. Because if they can squeak out, let's say, another three championships, no other franchise will ever be able to touch that. So, yeah, I'm all in on that.
Yeah, you made like a lawyer case there. I don't know if you answered yes or no. You played like both sides of the fence there, man. Would you
it's
go
all right,
to law
man.
School? Jeez.
It's all right, man. You ain't got me on tape being wrong. It's okay.
That would sound like you. Listen, you do it. Absolutely. We saw in games in the NBA Finals, especially Game 6, we saw what you're going to be if you don't sign all four of these guys, okay? You eat that bill. First, you're opening up the Chase Center, okay? When they open it up, which is going to be this September, and I know you're going to this joint performance of Metallica and the San Francisco Symphony, JT. I know you're going to that they've already secured $2 billion in contractually obligated income. And the Warriors are the third most valued team in the NBA at $3.5 billion. So, this team, like you said, they have the money.
Now who sounds like an attorney? Damn, go ahead.
They have the money. And even more so, they've been paying the salaries and the luxury tax for years now. And the 2017-2018 season, their pre-tax earnings, after all of the taxes and salaries, they still netted $100 million. They have the money. You do it. If not, your team's going to look like the NBA Finals, which you will not reach without KD and Klay. And I still think you sign Draymond to the max. Yeah, you still got to. There's no way you let those Klay and KD walk because you still won't be able to bring in a third guy. And if you do, he's still not as good as Klay and KD. So you better do it, Golden State. You better pay that bill of $1.6
billion. Yeah, just for the simple fact that they have the opportunity to make history. Well, let's stick with the NBA, and let's go to the team that actually won the championship and sent the Warriors home, the Raptors. So, you know, anytime that there's a sports champion, that yearly question comes up of, are they going to go to the White House and who's not going? So reports are that the Raptors are debating whether or not they will go to the White House, obviously because of who's in office. So, my question to you really quick, do you think the Raptors, being who they are, will visit the White House?
I mean, I don't think they're going to go. First, I don't even think they got an invite yet, okay? That's one. The 92 Blue Jays got invited, but then under Bill Clinton, the 93 Blue Jays didn't get one. I don't think the Raptors are going to get one, because I have two thoughts here. Is it the country's league who should invite them to their country's White House? Or is it where the team is located? Because the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, has actually invited them to the Parliament Hill in Ottawa. So I don't think they're going to both. And that's the question. Like, I'm boggling that in my head. Like, that's boggling my mind. What's the answer to that question? Is it the country's league who should invite them, or where the team is located?
That's actually a good question. I never thought about it that way. Well, let's assume it's up to Trump, and Trump's going to be the one that's sending out the invite. I don't think he's going to say what to the Raptors. the Raptors are like the anti-organization that he would want to invite to the office. They're in Canada. They're international. I can't get these guys McDonald's and get away with this shit. Like, this is going to be viral. So, no, I don't think Trump wants that kind of smoke with the whole entire country of Canada. So I don't think they get an invite. Even if they did, I could definitely see them declining just because of, you know, like I said, the organization, who they are, and, you know, like, their internal makeup. I think it's best if they both don't go.
Well, Danny Green's response, I think, gives us the answers when he said, "That's a hard no."
he's for sure not going.
He already said that. So I got one other real quick hitter for you, JT, because there's some breaking news that Kevin Durant has opted out of his player option with the Warriors. JT, good. What does that mean? What is KD going to do come July 1st?
That means he's taking his ass to the Knicks. He already had his surgery in New York. He's like, y'all forced me to come back. Y'all messed up my career. He's like, peace, I got to go. And it's so funny that he just opted out, because I just listened to Andre Iguodala's interview on The Breakfast Club, and he was kind of giving the insight to what was going on behind the scenes, not only with KD, but with him and his injury the year before. And just, it was really interesting. And then it's so funny that KD actually opts out today. So I do think this means that I think he's going to leave the Warriors.
You know, we've been saying, we had another show on this. I'm sticking with what Stephen A. Smith has said all along. He's going to the Knicks. But listen to this. 5 years, $221 million. He can sign with the Warriors. Anywhere else, it's 4 years, $164 million. Man, that's almost $60 million he would leave on the table, bro. Dude, that's a lot of money. I don't care who you are. That's a lot of money.
He's hooked up in tech out west. He's made a bunch of money. I don't think 60 it sounds crazy, but 60 million is not that much to him.
That does sound crazy. All right. Well, JT, great episode. Thank you for listening out there to JT and the Don. Please subscribe to us on Spotify, Stitcher, and Apple Podcasts. And as always, if you like us, please give us a 5-star review and follow us on social media at JT and the Don, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thank you again, JT. Until the next time, see ya.
Peace.